Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Psychic Teachers. I'm your host, Deb Bowen, and my lovely co-host, Samantha Faye, is taking the night off tonight, so she is not with us, but I have a wonderful surprise for you. I have our wonderful friend, Joel Hawkins, with us. Hi, Joel.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so happy you're here with us, because I tell you what, folks, our topic tonight, as you know, if you are a regular listener, is that we are working our way through the major chakra systems. And our topic tonight is the heart chakra. And if there's anybody who knows about heart chakras and the stones that we work with to balance and open and align our heart chakras, it is Joel Hawkins. So I am just thrilled that you are with me tonight, Joel. Thank you so much for being here.
Wow, thank you, sure.
Okay, so typically what we do is we have a meditation of the week, a crystal of the week, and an animal of the week. And I think probably we're going to skip the crystal of the week because I know Joel has a lot of crystal information to weave with you throughout the show, if that's okay with you, Joel.
Sure.
Okay, great. Okay, so what we'd like to ask you to do is that if you are in a comfortable and safe place to do so, please sit back, close your eyes, and take a long, slow, deep breath. And just focus on dropping your shoulders and breathing in as deeply as you can. Breathe in through your nose and filling your lungs all the way down to your diaphragm, as if you were filling a balloon. And just hold that breath for just a second or two. And then very gently let that breath out through your mouth. And as you hear me talk, try to practice that breathing technique. Breathe in, hold, and breathe out. So that you imagine that there is a circle of air coming in, filling you, and being released. And as you breathe that circular breathing pattern, just imagine that you are breathing in energy and light and love and kindness and gentleness and peacefulness. And that all those wonderful things just fill you with blessings greater than you could ever imagine. And as you release the breath, you are breathing out light and love and kindness and gentleness and peacefulness. So that what goes in comes back out over and over again. And as you continue to breathe, just with this long, slow, deep breath of love, just give this beautiful breath that you're bringing into your body a color. And give it the most brilliant, yet soft, beautiful, shining, shimmering green. Just breathe in green. Green is the primary color of the heart chakra. So is pink. So you could breathe in green or pink. But just imagine that as this wonderful breath comes into your body in these beautiful colors and fills you inside, it gently caresses your heart chakra so that you are filled with green, loving, kindness energy, and that that's what you're breathing out. And just do that for a second or two here so that you know you've got that clearly and can do it on your own later. Now take one more long, slow, deep breath of green, beautiful love. And when you are ready, flutter your eyes open and come back into the room. That is an absolutely simple meditation, easy to do. You can do it at a stoplight, but it is a great meditation.
Very nice.
Thank you. It's a great meditation for just bringing in the energy of any given chakra. You can do that with all of your chakras, but since we're talking about hearts tonight, we're going to talk about green and pink energy. The animal that I have chosen to discuss tonight is an animal that is frequently associated with the heart chakra, and that's antelope. Antelopes are playful. They are kind. They are gentle. They are herd animals, of course, and so they love and care for each other. They are able to leap into the air and overcome obstacles and just be in tune with their surroundings. They're not particularly skittish. I have been in the prairie and have seen antelope on the hillside and stopped, and they'll just stare back at me with those wonderful, gentle eyes. So spend some time doing some research and meditating on the wonderful energy of antelope as you think about this connection with your heart chakra tonight. So, Joel, where do we begin to talk about heart chakra? What would you... There's so much to say about the heart chakra. It's the bridge chakra. It is the chakra... Yes, it is the bridge chakra between your lower three chakras, your root chakra, your sacral chakra, and your solar plexus chakra, and then the three upper chakras, your throat chakra, your brow chakra, and your crown chakra. And that's a wonderful thing to think about, in that it is the bridge, that love is the bridge that brings our connection to our physical needs with our spiritual needs, with the third lower chakras and the upper chakras. So I'll hush for a minute and turn it over to you for a second or two here.
Well, and I think that's a good segue. It is the bridge. It's kind of like, and always remembering that we have a chakra system, this is kind of like the main switch to our chakra system. So of the seven energies, this being is almost like the jumper switch and the governor of the energy that flows back and forth between the different chakras and also around a particular chakra. So often, if you have a particular chakra that might be ailing you, it's ailing you in part with the heart chakra. And that often gets ignored. So people will go directly to, a single chakra, maybe their third chakra or their second chakra, to focus or address on an issue as opposed to doing it in conjunction with the heart chakra. It's almost always a safe bet to work with a healing prospect of the heart chakra in conjunction with any other chakra you're addressing.
Oh, because the heart chakra is affected by and affects the functioning of the other chakras. Am I hearing
exactly.
you correctly?
You know, it is your chakra of emotion, of connectedness, of higher consciousness, of connection to your true being or your higher self. And so it comes into, you know, that wounded child lives in there. All the things that we store in our childhood lives in there. And that has a tremendous effect. Past life energy is stored in there. It has a really big effect on our other chakras and how we use them.
Oh, okay. And that's true. When that chakra shuts down, when our heart chakra is closed, when it shuts down, we sometimes perceive that as helping us to feel safe because we're not open or vulnerable to those pains. But really what we're doing is just storing them away. Is that correct?
Absolutely. A good example of that would be, let's say that you and I are having a discussion and there's a particular topic that's highly emotional for me and I just can't, maybe it has something to do with grief or death and I just have not gotten there yet. And so when that topic comes up, I completely shut down. I won't talk about it. I won't listen. I won't communicate. And that's an example of your fifth chakra is being completely affected and driven by your fourth chakra.
Oh,
so it's just
shutting
things down. The reaction is from the fifth chakra, but the trigger is at the fourth chakra.
I see. So if we can't talk about it, if there is a throat chakra issue, the underlying cause is a heart chakra issue.
Very possibly, yes.
I see. Okay. All right.
It's always worth investigating because so often when we're looking at our different chakras, if we have one that seems maybe a little over-exuberant or a little weak, we tend to just want to address it directly and think, okay, it's just something here with this particular chakra. But it always pays to just pay a little of attention to your heart chakra and say, is there an issue there maybe that I'm not looking at, an emotional issue here that I've not resolved or really come to terms with, and that's why it's affecting me elsewhere like this.
So that takes us back to a discussion that we've had in all three of the other shows, and we will continue to have as we work our way through the other three chakras, and that is that what's important here is the balance among them.
Yes, absolutely.
That you can't just isolate a given chakra and work on that chakra. You've really got to work with them all in tandem.
Right, because it is a system. It's like a circuit board.
Oh, that's a good way to describe it.
For the subtle energies, it's like the body's circuit board.
Oh, okay. I was reading in preparation for tonight some interesting information about how that closing or shutdown or whatever that we do that is not healthy with that chakra, how it manifests itself physically.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about illnesses and whatnot here in a minute, but there was I was on a yoga website, and I found this very interesting and thought, golly, you know this is true, that we physically protect our heart chakra when we sit hunched-shouldered and rounded shoulders and we close in on our chest. We are literally protecting that chakra.
That's a description, and you're exactly right. We sure are.
Yeah, and I had not thought about it. So if you are folks who are yoga practitioners out there, do some heart opening exercises in your yoga practice, and that will help just to pull your shoulders back and to do some of those yoga postures that will open up that chakra is a really good thing to do. And of course, our language is so fraught with heart hurting language. Literally,
yeah.
My heart is broken. Somebody has a broken heart. And interestingly, and I know you've been reading about this too, and I bet many of our listeners have, where we have learned, or medical science has learned, that the term broken heart is a literal description of what happens with people with heart problems, is that there's literally some malfunction in the heart due to emotional trauma in some way. And I think I'm so glad that science and metaphysics are communicating in that way. But certainly heart ailments, what other kinds of things might be connected to heart chakra imbalance, Joel?
Circulatory problems, blood diseases, autoimmune diseases, rheumatoid arthritis, diseases where our body physically attacks itself are often associated to the heart. And it really, sadly, stems from a concept of self-love. Or lack thereof.
Uh-huh. Autoimmune illnesses. You know, as you said that, I just was thinking about back in the 70s and the early 80s when the AIDS epidemic was just coming to the forefront, and the political aspects of the movement in the gay population of folks just trying so hard to be recognized and honored for being people and just being people. And what that illness did emotionally to so many
people. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And is still doing. I mean, I think about people who are brokenhearted in sub-Saharan Africa or here in America with the resurgence of the AIDS virus in this country.
Right.
I had not thought of it as being connected to heart issues, but I think that's an excellent point. Yes. And circulatory issues where things just are not flowing because the heart stops that connection between the chakras and stops that connection of bodily function. Is that right?
Yes. And, you know, one of the coolest aspects of the heart is it is one of the primary chakras that will be showing you when you are not living in the moment. The heart reminds us of where we're living. And if your heart is open, and you're comfortable with yourself, and you love yourself and those around you, and, you know, you have some passion in your life, it's amazing the difference that makes for you as a human being versus someone who doesn't. And when you don't, it's clear that you're clinging to the past or you know, being apprehensive about the future. And one of the best barometers for that is the heart, is where am I right now? Because it will always reveal to you where you are.
And how will it do that?
Just basically by your attitude and how you feel. So if you are, you know, if you have a blockage in your heart and you are clinging on to old things that you can't forgive or people that you can't forgive, that's a clear indication that you're living in the past versus living in the present. If you're in the present, you realize this is your reality right now, and you're open and you're positive and you have passion. You're not apprehensive about the future or regretful or ashamed of the past.
So you can use that as a barometer to see how your heart chakra is doing.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
I got it.
Angry about something today? What am I angry about? Something that occurred yesterday? You know, where am I living with that? And it shows you that that's not healthy, and it just kind of helps us keep that area in balance, just doing that quick check of where am I right now?
Exactly. And, of course, I know Samantha and I have talked about using a pendulum. Laying down and using a pendulum, and just if you have a pendulum that you're connected with, it's a great way. The pendulum will tell you how your heart is spinning, how that chakra is working and operating. I think that's a great tool. One of the things that I said early on in the show, Joel, was not tonight, but in the series, was that one of the gifts that you have given me about visualizing the function of my chakras is fruit.
Yeah.
You did. I shared on the very first show when we were talking about the root chakra, your lovely symbol of the pomegranate and the orange and so forth and so on. What's my fruit for my heart chakra?
Oh, you could use a lime or a kiwi, something of that nature, an avocado. I mean, always something that you can hold and that you can visualize really easy, and then you can give it the color you want, the intensity of the color.
And I saw avocado, and the reason for that is that's closer in the size to a pomegranate and orange for me.
Right, right.
You know, or a grapefruit. So I'm kind of keeping them in that size range. Does that make sense? I don't want to suddenly have a green grape for my heart chakra when I've had, like, you know, an orange for my sacral chakra. I need my fruit to be the same size. So let's talk a little bit, now that we've talked about when a chakra isn't functioning and our heart chakra is pained or in some way damaged or whatnot, what are some of the ways that folks can begin to learn to really address those issues in their lives and to really open and balance that heart chakra? What might you suggest for some of those?
You know, obviously there's personal emotional work that you can go through to address some of those issues, but you can start by just doing some of the very same things that are healthy for the heart itself, such as heart-healthy foods. Those same bright electric green vegetables, oddly, are just as good for your heart chakra as they are your heart. A healthy heart is going to also have a healthy chakra. And so eat good, vibrant green foods, exercises, get outdoors. Really just keep in that mindset of be green. You know, green is the color of healing and life and plants, and there's a wonderful parallel there with the heart chakra, and you can kind of use that as a guideline. A lot of, like you were discussing earlier, it's an interesting check to give yourself. There's two. If you're sitting in a chair and you do find yourself rolling forward, where your shoulders are caving in and almost covering your chest, and you lean forward with your head tucked down, almost like you're going to roll into that prenatal position, that's a very good physical sign that you've been living a while with a heart chakra that is weak and contracting and that you're protecting. And another way is when you're walking. It's you can do so much good for your physical body by letting your heart chakra be that chakra which protrudes the most from your body in every situation. So just feel the difference if you're physically feeling your seven chakras when you're taking a walk or walking through your building or across the parking lot from your car, and just extend your heart chakra out just a little bit more than all the other chakras, just a hair. And it's amazing the difference you will feel in your entire physical structure. it'll relax. It'll open up. Your chest will open up. Your shoulders will fold back. There's this release from your shoulders that feels wonderful and in the center of your back. And all that is due to the way you position that heart chakra physically makes a big difference.
Good. I want to go back to two or three of those. I want to go back to food. I don't know about you folks, but Joel and I grew up in a world where kale was something that you used to decorate a salad bar with. You didn't eat kale where we grew up. Now, you ate a lot of collards and you ate a lot of turnips, but you didn't eat kale. And
absolutely.
You remember?
It was garnish.
That's right, it was garnish, exactly. Well, I guess over the past few months particularly, and I've eaten kale off and on, but I have reached a point recently where I just crave it. I do a lot of good food things, recipes with kale, and I'm eating a ton of salads, and I've fallen in love with, I've always liked it, but I've really just been arugula. And it's interesting how, as I have been working with my own chakras as we've been going through this series, because we learn too, folks, when we're doing these shows with you all, that I'm more and more attracted to things that are just healthy for me in terms of my eating. And it's been just a really fun experience. But kale has gone way up on my list of things to eat. I recently had a kale dish with cantaloupe in it, and I thought, boy, this is going to be odd. It was divine. Well, I mean, I don't think of kale and cantaloupe together, but it was lovely. So
yeah, we're still embracing the kale here, so I don't quite have the passion for it yet that you have in your heart for kale, but I'm trying to get there. I have to be re-educated to eat kale.
I know. I'll share some of my recipes with you because I've come up with some fun things with it. So in any case, but Joel's point is well taken, is that those foods that we consider to be heart healthy not only are physically, but there's a consciousness about it that will help you to think, oh, you know, not only am I nourishing my physical body, but I'm nourishing my spiritual body as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know, think about that. Francine has written in the chat room that kale was also used to feed rabbits, and indeed that is true. I didn't have bunnies, but I know folks who did. So healthy food and having green around you, it, just to be out in nature. I think I mentioned this on the show last week, but there's a book that I have just been fascinated with. It's called Last Child in the Woods, and it's about something called nature deficit disorder, which is not a mental disorder, but it's a concept about what we are doing to children by not having them play outdoors and be out in the woods and whatever anymore. And that's true for us adults, too.
I mean, there, it is.
You know, there isn't a morning that goes by that I don't go out into my backyard and say good morning to all the green people who live in my backyard and just say gratitude. I have this amazing sycamore tree that hangs way too close to my house. And I know I should cut it back, and I know all of that, but I can't because I'm so grateful for her shade. And she's very feminine to me. I don't, you know, she just is. And so just to spend some time in nature, in gratitude. I was talking to a friend yesterday about missing walking in the woods. I don't like to walk in the woods, particularly in the summer, because where we live there's a lot of poison ivy. But I sure do love it in the fall and in the spring. So just go sit in a park someplace. Just do something that is green, or paint your bedroom green, or wear green clothing, or just bring in houseplants that are green. There are a zillion ways to get support for your heart chakra with that wonderful color of green. Want to add something to that, Joel?
Well, and it harkens back to the meditation you did at the beginning of the show. One of the really good things to do when you are doing those kind of meditations is, just as you explained, visualizing that green color coming in through your crown chakra and circulating through your body. that's such an appropriate thing for a heart exercise or a heart chakra exercise, is having that visualization of the green light and just begin to translate green to healing just in all that you do. So when you're taking a walk, one of the things I do when I walk is I let the buildings fade out, I let them blur out, and I try to pull out the bushes and make them more clear and vibrant and focus on them. And that's a great heart chakra exercise. And again, just every time you focus on green, think of healing and think of healing your heart.
And your connectedness, because the more you, and, you know, of course, this is a running Deb theme, and so I have to go here, but your connectedness to all that is. Because when we feel connected, we feel love and we feel gratitude. And one of the things that I don't know if folks are familiar with the Davic realm who listen to this show, but the notion is that there are energies that take care of and govern the function of the plant kingdom, and that is called the Davic realm, D-E-V-I-C. And when you communicate with the spirits of a plant, you are communicating with that Davic realm. There's a wonderful place in Scotland called Findhorn, F-I-N-D-H-O-R-N, the Findhorn Gardens, and it was begun as an experiment in the 1970s with some folks who were psychic and the plant spirits of the Davic realm, and it was an experimental garden where they agreed to meditate and to send love to plants. And in turn, the Davic realm would have these plants do amazing things that they were not supposed to do. In their first year of functioning in this rocky, barren landscape, they had cabbages that weighed 50 pounds.
Wow.
And that was all, yes, and that was all about love. That whole relationship was about love and honoring. So not only when we begin to open our heart chakra do we begin to honor ourselves, but we feel that love and connectedness to everything around us. I'm really convinced, and I'll probably say this again before the hour is up, that if we all could open our heart chakras and allow love to come into our life, we would have world peace.
Oh, I believe you.
You know, I don't
know. You know, one of the two hardest areas of the heart chakra is for people to forgive themselves, number one, and number two, love themselves or allow themselves to be loved. They just don't feel worthy. And those are the parts of the heart chakra that are really the most difficult to address and the ones that people really spend quite a lot of time almost avoiding. They'll work in other areas of the heart chakra in order to try and address something instead of just going and addressing the meat of the problem. And often it's number one, accepting the fact that you should forgive yourself and to do it. It's hard to even forgive others, but for some reason that seems to be that part of us that is the least likely to take place as self-forgiveness. And in addition to that, to say, really, I am worthy of love.
Yes, that is so, so hard to do. I don't know if that's cultural. It certainly is where we live. I mean, it's not okay. You're supposed to be self-sacrificing, you know?
Absolutely.
You know? Yes, Francine has written, I think the lack of love and compassion of self and others leads to violence. And I absolutely agree with you, Francine. I think that's the bottom line. But learning to forgive yourself, you know, we often
talk about forgiving others and how important that is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, that self-forgiveness, we're sometimes so much more critical on ourselves and unforgiving and hold that grudge. And I'm not sure why. I've always associated forgiveness with control. And so I'm not quite sure when we refuse to forgive ourselves why we are still exercising that control. I don't get it.
Well, maybe we're afraid that something terrible would happen if we let it go.
Yeah, that's some sort of faith issue there.
Yes. Yes, I think so too. I think so too. And learning to love ourselves. Whew. I had a conversation with
some friends on Friday for summer solstice, by the way. I'm going to talk a minute about that in a few minutes. And, of course, tonight's amazing full moon. But a group of us were talking as a part of our ritual for summer solstice, and we were discussing that verse in the Bible where Jesus says, love others as you love yourself. Well, that's such a powerful statement, because until you love yourself, how can you love other people?
Exactly.
And that's what we agreed was the our interpretation of that quote. And I think that's so true, and I think it's the hardest thing for us to do. It is very difficult for us to do that for ourselves. And I don't know what to say to folks to help make that better for them, other than that it's something that I think I can't speak for other people, but I certainly need to work on.
Well, and I kind of gave it some thought, too. When you start looking back at the things that maybe it's the things you have regrets on. So if you're trying to determine if you're a candidate for this or not, if there's regrets or decisions that you made that you're still punishing yourself for, that others may have not even been affected and have long since forgiven you, you know, ask yourself why you're not forgiving yourself, or just attempt to forgive yourself and see what happens. Sometimes maybe we forget that we should. Maybe it's not necessarily that we're holding it back, but we just forget that we should forgive ourselves.
Well, yes. And somehow or another, it's that feeling of not being worthy, you know?
So, exactly.
Yeah, I know. That sin and guilt thing is pretty nasty.
Right.
So,
and again, it's an example of where you live in. So if you're not forgiving yourself, are you living in the past? Because it is gone. I mean, you and I have this conversation all the time about living in the moment and reminding yourself that that's where you are. And maybe that's part of the exercise, again, is just living in the moment.
Yeah, and boy, is that hard. You know, when you're scheduling, I mean, I'm scheduling readings 2 and 3 weeks out. That's usually as soon as anybody can get in to see me, and I've got this and that and the other going on, and I've got this on my calendar, and, you know, how in the world do you just stop yourself and say, but that's then, and now is now? And I think that's
it. I think it's a perspective you have to adopt when things get too much. When you're becoming so overwhelmed with the appointments in the future and issues from the past, or something that had just happened earlier today, and you're just overwhelmed at that point, is when you have to start that sort of mental recitation of, right now, this is where I am and this is what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
To start bring yourself into that perspective of the presence, because I think what happens is it begins to escalate. Once we hitch a ride with that mentality, it takes off at light speed and leaves you, you know, you're no longer grounded at all. So I have to go through that little exercise when I see that happening, of literally saying, okay, right now, this is all I'm doing, to bring things into perspective, to remind myself of where I am, which is the present.
And I have to say that affirmation that I've shared on the show before, and that is, when I am taking care of myself, the rest of the universe falls into my place, and I have everything I need right now to take care of me.
Exactly.
And
as you said before, I am enough. That's another thing you can remind yourself, is I am enough.
Yes, I am enough. And, boy, that's hard. That's a hard sentence to say. I've learned to say it. And sometimes I even mean it, but not always. I am enough. But, you know, it's that fake it till you make it thing. You have to just keep saying it until you believe it.
Exactly.
Talk some about heart crystals, if you would. Yes. Will you talk some about heart crystals? And then we also have a question in the chat room about charging crystals with moon and sunlight and whatnot. So if you could start with heart crystals, and then we can move on to that other question, would be great.
I think of heart crystals from a color standpoint, of those just globally that are green or pink. From the green, again, I always associate the healing aspect, where the pink is maybe from a more loving aspect, or if you maybe need to start with things a little milder. So let's say you're just not ready to confront some of these. You've got some pretty big heart scars, and you're just not ready to confront them. You could maybe start with a pink stone such as kunzite or rose quartz and work a little bit with that, or rhodonite, and then switch over to a green stone, which is going to just be a little bit more vibrant. There's some gentle ones you could start with, such as calcite. Green calcite is such a gentle and wonderful healer, and it's also a wonderful amplifier. It's just a very easygoing stone. It's not abrupt or confrontational like some deeper green stones can be sometimes. I mean, some of the exercises that you have to go through with the healing stones are emotional exercises from a heart chakra standpoint. You're dealing with a lot of emotion, and some of them can be quite confrontational. One for me, I know I've said it before, is malachite. I mean, you've got that intensely, it's almost like the Pepto-Bismol of green. It is so intense, and for me, it can be like holding a panic attack.
You've taught me out of using malachite by itself on occasion, yeah.
Yeah, it can just be, and not that it's a bad stone, but it is just, it's a very powerful stone, and that sort of energy can, if you're not quite ready for it, can be a little confrontational sometimes, addressing things from a self-healing perspective, because you are going to touch on some deep emotion, possibly
mm-hmm.
that wounded child mentality there. But some other ones that are really gentle and loving, like I said, are green calcite. Green jade or jadeite is wonderful. The green nephrite, and those aren't terribly expensive, and neither are the green calcite. And they're very gentle, easygoing healing stones. Probably, and I'm not sure if people would differ or agree, but I think from what I've read, what considered to be one of the most powerful heart stones, aside from like an emerald because of its intense pure ray, would be dioptase from a healing perspective. It is one of the master healers for the heart. It can be a little pricey, but you can get some inexpensive pieces or some, you know, somewhat inexpensive dioptase jewelry. But one of the things about dioptase that I think sums it all up, and Melody mentions it in Love is in the Earth, it is the crystal to remind you that you should be living today, that yesterday is a memory, tomorrow is a dream, today is reality right now. Because
uh-huh.
that is so much from a perspective of self-love, of where you're finding yourself. It's hard for a lot of people to forgive themselves when they can't come out of the past and look and say, gosh, objectively, I wasn't that horrible of a person. I can let go of this. So those are some good stones for trying some of those exercises, as long as you can also use some aventurine, some green aventurine. Peridot is a wonderful heart stone. There's a lot of nice green stones that are really affordable. Emeralds are extremely affordable. Rough, unpolished emeralds, I think they're just as pretty as the polished emeralds, and you can get those very inexpensively. Some of them are already on little pendants or bales, and that's a wonderful heart stone. It's an all-around healer.
Talk to me about, and I'm never sure I pronounce this right, chalcedony?
Chalcedony?
Chalcedony.
Chalcedony is basically a member of the quartz family, and so you have different colors of chalcedony. It's a microcrystalline structure, so it's extremely, extremely small crystals that form, and part of it, I believe, jaspers go into the chalcedony family, as well as do some agates. And so you have, like, carnelian is an example of, would be the equivalent of, like, orange chalcedony.
Ah.
But
oh,
it's
okay.
Technically chalcedony, if that makes sense. Blue lace agate, a lot, you'll have some blue chalcedonies, and they're evidence of blue lace agate.
Oh, all right. I have that beautiful piece of, what about fuchsite?
Oh, that's a wonderful green stone. That's one of my chakra stones. I have a dioptase, a green fuchsite, both that I use for heart work. And green fuchsite is hands down one of my favorite heart stones. it's just got such a gentle and loving vibration. And again, it's not confrontational, and it's just got a very light, almost fairy gnomish energy to it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And the green tea check does. Now, I know you remember the Diop case when I was doing a chakra balancing for you and placed it on your heart chakra.
I certainly do.
So that Diop case can be a little powerful. Not so much confrontational, but it can be a little powerful. It's very easy to sense.
Uh-huh. And what about Amazonite?
Amazonite wouldn't be my first choice so much for a heart chakra stone. It's more of a balancing stone between your seventh chakra and your third chakra.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of the masculine feminine setup of the effects of radiation on amethyst is basically what it is. It's a perfect example of how instead of becoming completely citrine, because the stone was completely irradiated while it was in the mine or in the earth or after somebody had extracted it, ametrine is an example of that sort of rolling radiation. And you get these wonderful zones of the citrine out of the amethyst, but there's almost like an equal balance. So it becomes that symbology of the divine masculine and feminine together, the yin-yang, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then pink stones. Well, of course, we've talked about rose quartz, and you know, Samantha is the rose quartz queen, so we talk about rose quartz a lot when she's with us. which is great. You know, I have a gigantic piece of rose quartz right by my front door, and I love having it there. It's a real gift. But there are some other pink stones, and I think you mentioned, was it rhodochrosite? Did you mention that?
Rhodochrosite is a good heart stone. It's not quite that intense, deep ruby red that's often associated with the first chakra. But, you know, again, because the heart chakra is a bridge chakra, there are a lot of issues that will show up in the heart that are related to your first chakra. And so rhodochrosite is a good choice. It's a big self-love stone, as well as rhodonite is also very good. Rhodonite is nice in that it helps you accept flaws with yourself as whether flaws that you also might see in others that you have a reaction to, and then you realize that you possess those same flaws, and it's really good for helping you work through some of those.
Would you spell that so I could put it in the chat?
Rhodonite is Hodonite.
I think I've done it right.
So when you think about the heart stones, when you think about the green stones, think about healing. When you think about the pink stones, think about love, whether it's self-love or loving someone else. And, you know, you might have a very healthy heart and a very healthy heart chakra, and you're suddenly finding yourself in a situation with a single individual or maybe someone, you know, it could be a parent or a child or anyone that you're just having a hard time embracing them right now, and there just may be some love issues that you need to address, and that's when some pink stones might come in really nice.
Okay.
If it's just a self-love issue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I bought a piece of pink petalite, which I'm just getting to know.
Yeah, that's really gentle. And unfortunately, it's highly expensive, but it is absolutely breathtaking, is kunzite. Pink kunzite is absolutely, it's an amazing, amazing stone. It looks like cotton candy, hard cotton candy.
Spell it.
K-U-N-Z-I-T-E.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
Sure.
All right. Good. Yeah, those are helpful for folks to hear some of that. So healing the green stones for heart, healing the pink stones for love.
Right. Just a way of kind of my need to categorize sometimes. Not anybody else's, but it kind of helps.
Uh-huh. I hear you. Okay. Wonderful. So other than stones, and I have not forgotten Francine's question about stones for the moon and whatnot, but other than stones, are there other kinds of objects that might be helpful in that you can think of in working with your heart chakra?
I would say in combination with some stones, you could do some meditation and most specifically use some oils.
And we've been talking about oils off and on with the chakras. So,
good.
Rose oil.
Rose oil, lavender oil, jasmine would be another nice one. I mean, that's just an example, but those things, some very gentle, light fragrances like that that are very heart-oriented are very healthy.
I'm putting in sandalwood as well.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay. So some of those oils would be really good. Okay. So just literally to massage some of that on your heart chakra.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Or put some on your wrist.
And try some affirmations. I mean, just some personal positive affirmations about yourself. You know, find little things to start forgiving yourself for so that you remember to forgive yourself for the big things. It's okay to just look at yourself in the mirror and go, you know, I was a little hard on you yesterday, and for that I'm sorry. You know, it's okay to do that, and it's not crazy because we're often hardest on ourselves. So it's a good habit to get into, I think.
Absolutely. That's a good point. Good. Okay, so some oils, some mini stones are available to you. And would you say to people, you know, because, gosh, there are a zillion books out there, and if you try to read them all, they all either say the same thing or say something diametrically opposed to somebody else. Would you tell
That's
people other...
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead, Deb.
I was just going to say that other than Melody and her, of course, amazing work, would you tell people to just begin to trust themselves with what feels right to them in terms of that green range?
I would. You know, that's the whole concept of the signature by design that especially, you know, whether it's dealing with plants or fruits or leaves, it's also applicable to stones, and that the color is most revealing for where you're working it, with which particular chakra or part of the body that you can work with that. And so I'd focus on the green stones and let your intuition go. I mean, play with some pink and green stones and go with what you're drawn to. It's often far better than spending a lot of time researching it and then going out and trying to find a particular stone.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
And it's most exciting when that happens. It's a far bigger gasp when you get home and read about a stone that you just acquired and it was like a perfect fit, as opposed to if you spent forever searching for a stone and you finally find it and you're just not that enamored with it when you get home.
Yes. I think that's very true. And I have had that often happen to me. I have been in a store looking at stones and I keep going back to a stone that I'm not terribly familiar with, and rather than digging in my tote bag and pulling out my book and researching it, I just trust that I'm supposed to bring that stone home, and I get home and I look it up and I say, oh golly, this was exactly the rock I needed, you know. Somehow my
how that works.
Yeah, it's called intuition. You know, really, and that's what we teach people all the time on this show, is learn to trust your intuition. So certainly do that. And the same would be true with the oils. You know, if the oils that we suggested are not calling you, and in fact you find that vervain or bergamot is really resonates for your heart, then go with it.
Absolutely. Always trust yourself. It's the baseline.
Absolutely. I think that's true too. So before we forget, and we run out of time, and I don't want to do that, I want to talk about the astrological events that are going on right now, because this is an amazing time of the year. Summer solstice, of course, was on Friday here, winter solstice for our listeners in Australia, and in the southern hemisphere.
Happy solstice, everyone.
Happy solstice to everybody, whichever solstice you're celebrating. Absolutely true.
Absolutely.
Our wonderful friend Susan, who has also been a guest on our show several times, sent you and I don't know if you checked your emails tonight, but Susan sent us an article from the BBC magazine on how Christianity and paganism specifically don't spend enough time honoring the changing of the season in the summer. And I thought, oh, it was a lovely article, and it was true. And I love celebrating the summer solstice. This is a time of beautiful abundance. And, you know, I did something for our ritual on Friday night that just seemed like a natural thing to me. I have lots of gardenia bushes in my backyard here in the sunny south, and I just picked a huge bouquet of gardenias, and the whole house just reeked of gardenias. I had them in every room, and I loved it, and it was that connection with nature and that gratitude for the changing of the seasons. So if you have not taken a minute or two to express some gratitude or some joy at the changing of the season, please do so whenever you're listening to this podcast. Please just say, gee, thank you for the change in the seasons, whoever it is you're sending your thanks to. And, of course, the summer solstice is, here in the Northern Hemisphere, a great, powerful time for being, we're closest to the sun. So sun rituals are very important, and if you have stones that need sunlight to charge them, just here in these few days would be a great time to take them out and do that outside and let the sun charge them. There are some stones you shouldn't put in the sun, and I'm sure Joe's going to talk about that in a minute. Conversely, of course, tonight is also the largest full moon that we will have in some time. It's what?
Yeehaw.
I know. I just love that this is, the moon is the closest to the earth it will be in some time, and it's a gigantic full moon, so I hope that wherever you are, you are taking some time to just go out and say hello to her. It rose about an hour ago here where I live, and so I should be able to see it over my trees by the time the show is over, and I'm excited to go out in the backyard and just allow that beautiful moonlight to come in and just fill me with intuitive ability and my connection to nature. And even if you live somewhere where it's cloudy or even raining or snowing tonight, she's still up there, whether you can see her or not. So go out and speak to her and spend some time with her tonight. It's a very powerful moon. Will you talk some about crystal cleansing and whatnot for both sun and moon to answer Francine's question?
Sure. You know, you can do it a lot of ways, and the symbology and the intent that you bring into it, again, always matter the most. So, for instance, the only thing I caution folks with putting in the sun, or I wouldn't set really intensely dark crystals that you want to retain their color in the sun, like really dark amethyst or dark citrine or smoky quartz. If that sits in a window or out on your patio, or if it's constantly exposed, or at least for several hours a day to bright, intense sunlight, it will fade it. It's like nothing you've ever seen. It will go away relatively quickly over a period of time. It can have its impact. Just like it would fade furniture or carpet, it'll fade your stones. Clear quartz works great out in the sun. A lot of other stones work great out in the sun. But, you know, I have seen and heard stories of folks catching things on fire by leaving clear quartz outside. It's been responsible for more than one deck fire, so because you've got that magnification and that clarity in the quartz.
Mm-hmm.
So it works almost like a magnifying glass. So you do have to exercise a little caution. I sit mine out where they might get some morning sun or some afternoon sun, but they're not sitting the whole day nonstop in super intense sun. And the moon, I think anything is safe going out in the moon, whether you're choosing the new moon or the full moon. And, you know, Deb, I guess, again, it's just your intent. I know some people like to put out their crystals on a full moon to charge them, as well as they'll put out some crystals on a full moon to release them, since it's the end of the cycle. So it really, again, is where you're coming from an intention standpoint.
Oh, interesting. I had not thought of it that way. I always think
it seems a little weird, doesn't it?
Well, it does to me, but that's, you know, that's just me. I don't know that that's
the same here. It's
right,
like,
or wrong.
You know,
it's just the way I have always perceived it. Yeah. I think of the night of the full moon as when if you think of the three phases of the moon, of waxing, full, and waning,
And if you think of them, in my belief, corresponding to maiden, mother, crone. So during that waxing period, as the moon is getting fuller and fuller each night, that is a young woman. That is the maiden. She is learning. She is growing. And I think of the full moon as a mother having given birth with all the richness and power that a woman who has just given birth would have. And then as that the moon begins to get smaller and smaller and waning, I think of that as an aging crone. And so when I think of the moon as a full, alive, pregnant, just having given birth woman, I think of that just being a tremendous amount of energy. And for me, it is that full moon energy that is when we give gratitude, and it is also when we charge our crystals with all of that psychic energy. Whereas the new moon, I think of that as a time of setting intentions so that they can grow, i.e. wax. And I don't think I ever set out crystals at the new moon, but that just may be me. You have a question in the chat room, Joel, from Francine. Does that mean, using your intention, that the amount of time they might stay out is up to you based on your intuition?
Absolutely. Not only that, is also using your intuition to determine when you want to put them out. So maybe it just feels right to you to, if you've had a crystal that you've been using for a long period of time for a particular purpose and that it's been served, and it's time to cleanse that crystal and let it rest, maybe you want to set it out on a particular moon that to me or Deb would seem odd or different, but for you, it's what resonates for you and what's appropriate for you, and so that's your intention, yeah.
Mm-hmm. There you go. I know, for example, there are certain stones that I always think of as being full moon cleanse, needing to be cleansed or connected stones, and that's selenite and moonstone, any of those kind of water-based stones.
Exactly. Opals, yeah.
Uh-huh. Any of the
I think the same way. And, you know, Francine, the other thing that I always remind myself and Deb and I mean, this is just such a great phrase that it came from Serendipity, who is certainly my stone mentor, but don't spend too much time, you know, worrying about which approach you may take. Always go with what resonates with you. And as Serendipity would say, and if it starts to stress you out, don't buy into it.
Oh, there you go.
And that's such an appropriate little mantra to follow there.
If it stresses you out, don't do it.
Absolutely, yeah. If it's going to start stressing you out in any way on when you're doing something at a particular time, don't buy into it, because that's defeating the whole purpose.
It is
your intention is the most important. One other thing about cleansing your stones and charging your stones that is a great way to do it, especially this time of year, that you don't have to worry about is as long as they're not water-soluble stones, is putting them out in an electrical storm. So if you know in the afternoon you're going to have some thunderstorms, go ahead and stick, you know, a bowl of stones out there. Or place a few out on your table and let them be out there in that energy, charged up from that electricity in that storm.
Woo! Boy, you could get some charge on those stones with a
great, yeah, like my grid stones. If I ever have the opportunity to put them out, you know, for an electrical storm, I'll gather them all up and stick them in a bowl and just, you know, fill it up with water and salt and stick it on the patio, and just let them sit out there in all the rain and the thunder and lightning.
Ooh! That'll charge them.
Yeah, it will.
There you go. So I hope that's been helpful to you, Francine. Thank you for that. So, folks, we are out of time. I can't believe that this hour is gone, and it is. We so appreciate you being with us this evening. Have a blessed full moon and a wonderful week. And next week, Samantha will be back with me, and we'll be moving on to the throat chakra in our discussion next week. Joel, thank you so much for being here tonight.
Thanks for having me, Deb. And everybody have a great rest of your weekend.
Oh, absolutely. And everybody, just be the light. Thank you and good night.
Good night.